More than 5,000 Chinese national lawmakers and political advisers have concluded annual meetings in Beijing to discuss policies and develop proposals to help advance the world's second-largest economy. The main theme focused on deepening political reforms. The government work report by Premier Li Keqiang referred to reforms 77 times. Who are all these leaders, and how do they approach governing in China? David Lampton is professor of China Studies at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies at SAIS. His new book, Following the Leader, is in part culled from 558 interviews with various Chinese leaders, the notes of which had been stored away for some time.
I was looking at my file cabinets one day, wondering what was in them. And I said, well, it's all the notes I've taken of meetings with Chinese leaders. Wouldn't that be an interesting data set to use to try to describe how Chinese leaders have looked at leadership and governing China over the last 40 years and how they've looked at dealing with the outside world? I wanted to let Chinese leaders speak for themselves. It was idiosyncratic sitting at my desk one day.
There are four men that are pictured on the cover of your book, from Deng Xiaoping all the way up to Xi Jinping. In that period of time, the United States has had maybe, 10, 12 presidents. The Chinese leadership has been rather streamlined in that period of time.
Yes, they've had fewer supreme leaders than the comparable number of U.S. presidents. But China's got a very elaborate bureaucracy, both a party bureaucracy, a state bureaucracy, and of course a military bureaucracy. And so that's not to mention the leaders at provinces. You've got 31 provinces, and those provinces are as big as countries in many cases. And then China's got 2,000-plus counties, and counties are actually rather large areas, too. When I, in the book, talk about leaders, I don't mean just the Standing Committee, the Politburo, the party elite, or the Central Committee. I also mean university presidents and county magistrates and provincial governors and party secretaries, and increasingly CEOs in global companies and even NGO leaders. So what is reasonably called a leader today, I think, is a much broader and maybe more interesting and certainly more diverse, younger group than what were constituted leaders when I began going to China in 1976.
Does the political system in China try to select or groom its leaders to be a certain type, or how much individuality do they really allow as these chosen few have risen to the top?
I guess it's testimony to the power of the individual spirit. China has a very rigorous promotion system that certainly by the time people move up, they have lots of experience with different dimensions of lower levels. They go through standard operating procedure. And so at one level, you would say the system's designed to create a certain uniformity of policy perspective and actual bureaucratic behavior. But what's equally impressive to me is still when you meet these people, they're radically different personalities, as you could probably find in the range of politicians and other leaders in other societies. But like in every other society, sometimes the top doesn't know what it wants. Even though there are tremendous pressures for conformity, I think China's leaders at the top see themselves as somewhat weak in dealing with subordinates that are continually going their own way.
From Deng Xiaoping to Xi Jinping, how has that dynamic changed in terms of the influence of all of these leaders influencing the person at the top and the top person influencing those under him?
Broadly speaking, Chinese society has become more complicated. The Chinese bureaucracies become more fragmented, complex, and divided. People at the bottom of the system have information and resources and organizations that they run that give them the capacity to more effectively resist upper levels, if that's what they choose to do. While China's leaders are still, by any fair stretch, at the top, very powerful and can certainly exercise their power in ways that are either perceived as fair or not fair, nonetheless, I think Chinese leaders now have to negotiate with each other to a much greater extent, and they have to negotiate with society. This has been a dramatic change in the political system. And so the future question, really, it seems for me, is how do we bring a more complex society into a harmonious and effective relationship with what you might call older political institutions.
The Chinese leadership really is now sort of playing into the Western mode of politics, if you will, and having to go to the people and be more visible, be more personable.
Yeah.
It has pushed some people and watchers to say that China is moving toward a democracy. Would that fact alone really be an impetus for China to change that dramatically in its political system?
Yes, I think your question suggests what I think is an important development. But that is that what we've developed is what you might call a responsive authoritarian system. You wouldn't say Mao Zedong was very responsive either to the complaints of his fellow leaders or to the rest of society. He could pretty well ignore both if he was committed to something. I think now China's leaders are much more sensitive, and often they try to preemptively accommodate things. Also, widespread use of public opinion polls now, the party polling on what promotion of which officials might be most acceptable to people. Now it's within the party and it's a closed process, and in the end the party decides. So I'm not arguing this is democracy, as many Westerners would think, but it is at least somewhat responsive, and it's certainly different than the system was under Mao. We ought to have a rather open mind about the exact course China pursues to accomplish that.
David Lampton, professor of China Studies at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies at SAIS. His book, Following the Leader, Ruling China from Deng Xiaoping to Xi Jinping, is published by the University of California Press.